Open your Bible to the book of Hosea. Now, if you don't know where that is, turn to the index. That'll help you. Amen. Turn to the index, because if you don't know where it is, you'll be turning your pages while I'm three-fourths through the way of the message. All right. But the easiest way to find it is find like Daniel or like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, those big old books there in the Old Testament. And turn to your right and right past Daniel, you'll come to the book of Hosea. Find chapter 5. And because we're a little bit late, hey, that's okay, getting into the message this morning. And because I don't want to cut it short, we won't stand up. I'm just going to give you the text verse, give you the title. I'm going to pray, and we're going to jump right into the message today from Hosea chapter 5. Are you there? Amen. If you're not, like another pastor said, just look intelligently at whatever page you got open, and it'll be okay, all right? Hosea chapter 5, look at verse 3. I know Ephraim and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. I want you to draw your attention to verse 4. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. So I want to speak this morning on framing our doings, framing our doings. Heavenly Father, once again, we bow not out of ritual or ceremony. We bow because we need you. We've sung, we've given, we've fellowshiped, we've prayed. And God, now it's time for your word to be preached. Please honor the preaching of your word, not because any of us deserve it, but Lord, we need it. So our hearts are needful today, and I hope our hearts are hungry and ready. You said that you would fill those that are hungry, and I pray that you will this morning. In Jesus' name, and amen. Hosea was a contemporary of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah was much more familiar or much more well-known to us than Hosea. He preached to his homeland, the nation of Israel. You see that in verse number 1 of chapter 5. Hear ye this, O priest, and hearken, ye house of Israel. And he preached to the house of Israel before Israel went into captivity. Now, these were dark days in Israel's history. It was the time of Israel's decline and fall. Their sins had brought them to the precipice of judgment. That's where their sins had brought them. No one enjoys messages of impending judgment and trouble, and yet God moved his preachers to be truthful about the situation. You know, even though it may have been discouraging to hear of captivity and so forth, here's the thing, folks. God was not going to send his people into judgment without warning. And you know what that is? Is not that the mercy of God? I mean, do we really deserve that warning? We don't really deserve it. But that's God's mercy. That's mercy. God warned them through his preachers. And you know what the people did? They mocked. And they scorned. And they stared down the prophets that God sent to preach to them. Stared them down. So how do you know that? Because God told Jeremiah in chapter 1, he told them, be not afraid of their faces. And believe you me, if you preach long enough, you're going to get stared down. If it doesn't happen, you're not really getting close to the fence post very often. That's the honest truth. So it said, be not afraid of their faces. Now, you read Isaiah, you read Jeremiah, you read Hosea, and some of the kings, and you will read where the messengers who preached, they were hated. They were hated. I mean, they were hated. They attempted to kill some of them. And they took the mercy of God. The people took the mercy of God and just stomped on it. People, this is not the message today, but don't do the same. Take warning preaching as a gift of God's mercy. A gift of God's mercy. Now, Hosea's name means salvation. That's what it means. So the very name of the man that God sent to preach to them was proof that God was trying to keep his people from pending judgment. Hosea preached to his own people. He was one of them. Had they listened to the man whose name meant salvation, they could have found salvation. But they didn't listen for the most part. Now I want to show you, first of all, this morning, number one, I want to show you Hosea's indictment. Hosea's indictment. You know what an indictment is? An indictment is a charge. An indictment is an accusation. Look at it in verse number 3. He says, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. In other words, I'm one of you. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom. So the indictment, the charge, the accusation is that these people had committed whoredom. Now, people, that's strong. That is a blunt, blatant, and bleak charge. But he's right. Because Israel was the bride of God. They were married to God by a special covenant. God was the bridegroom. Israel was the bride. And the charge was that the bride had been unfaithful to the bridegroom. Now think about that for a little bit. The bridegroom had not been unfaithful to the bride. Oh no, friend. You won't be able to charge God with unfaithfulness. He is the faithful God. God had been faithful to his people. He had kept his covenant of vows with his bride. But Israel had flirted and Israel had courted and Israel had even bowed down to worship other gods. Many of them. You can read in the Kings where they built special altars to the false gods of the Ammonites and the false gods of the Moabites and the false gods of the Philistines and others. Their leadership, their kings and their priests and their renowned people had participated in this spiritual whoredom. There's not a woman sitting in this room, not a lady sitting in this room today who would not be offended if you were charged with being a whore. That's true. That's an awful charge. Is there any more devastating news to a spouse than to hear that their mate has committed adultery and been unfaithful? Any more horrible news than that? I don't think so. What horrible pain that kind of thing carries with it. And in this case, people, it was God who had been betrayed. God. And by the way, I'm not preaching on marriage this morning, on being faithful to our marriage vows. But if you are a married person this morning, honor your marriage vows. Honor them. Honor them. I don't think I'm doing a disservice to Brother Don to say that he struggled in a lot of areas of his Christian walk. We've had some very close conversations in the past month. One thing I told his wife yesterday, in spite of some of the struggles he had with the Christian walk, he was never unfaithful to his bride. Over 41 years of faithfulness to his bride. And if you're a married man or a married woman in this room this morning, look, be faithful to your vows. Amen, amen. So, Israel, you're supposed to be in love with me. That's what God is saying. You are supposed to be, you know, we're bound together by a perpetual covenant. You said, I do to me, and which means you said, you should have said, I don't to every other false god. And God took this personally. He took this as personally as you and I would take it if our spouse was unfaithful to us. What a horrible, horrible indictment, and especially when it was true. When it was true. So that's the indictment Hosea brings to his people. Now I want you to look secondly this morning with me at Hosea's assessment. And this is where I'm going to get into the theme and the crux of my message this morning. Hosea's assessment is found in verse number... What's an assessment? An assessment is an evaluation, okay? So he made the indictment, and now he's going to give his assessment. Of course, it's God speaking. He says in verse 4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. Now, it's interesting to me that God uses the word frame. Frame. You know, when you walk into your house, there are different rooms in our houses that serve different purposes. You've got a kitchen, you've got a family room, you've got a bedroom, you've got a bathroom. And each one of those rooms is framed to make it possible to serve the room's purpose. Does that make sense to everybody? For instance, you walk into a kitchen, it is framed so that it holds a refrigerator and a stove and an oven and a microwave and so forth, so the wife, the woman of the house, can cook and prepare meals there, wash dishes and so forth. It's framed for that purpose. You walk into a bathroom, it's framed for a tub, it's framed for a shower stall. Maybe there's a separate little nook for a toilet, and that's where people go to that room to clean up and prepare themselves for the day. And then you walk into a bedroom and it's framed for sleeping and it's framed for storing clothes. And there's a closet framed off of the bedroom so you can put your clothes and your shoes. And you walk into the family room and it's framed for sitting and lounging and fellowship and entertainment. Well, what I'm saying is the framework of each room is designed to accomplish the purpose that the room serves. All of the rooms in this building, all of you walk out of this gymnasium into the building, the two stories there, all of the rooms, the offices are framed, they are designed to serve the purpose of that particular room. And so this is what Hosea said. He said, the framework of your life, the framework of your life does not serve the purpose of bringing you close to God. Now think about that. The framework of your life does not serve the purpose of bringing you close to God. Specifically to these people right here, the framework of their life did not serve the purpose of helping them turn back to God. They had been close to God. They had committed spiritual whoredom, had served and worshipped other false gods. And Hosea's indictment was, hey, you've committed spiritual whoredom. And his assessment was, the framework of your life is not designed to even help you turn back to the God that you've betrayed. The design of your life isn't fixed that way. The great need of this people was to draw close to God. They needed to turn to Him. But their life was not framed to help them accomplish that purpose. Now, look, this assessment was really scathing because look at what Hosea said in verse number 4. Look at it. Does he say in verse 4, they cannot frame their doings? What does it say? They will not. So this was their choice. They could have framed their life so that it served the purpose of drawing them close to God. They could have done that. They had every opportunity to do that. Every advantage to do that. But they chose not to. So that makes the indictment, that makes the assessment even more scathing. They could have. And Hosea said this. He said, they will not frame their doings. Doings. The doings of their life are not framed for the purpose of turning to God. What's he talking about? He's talking about the things that the people chose to do. Their activities, their hobbies, their pursuits, their pleasures. What they, if you let me put it in modern vernacular, what they watched, what they read, what they listened to, what they talked about. He's talking, folks, he's talking about their lives. He said, your life is not designed to draw you close to God. The doings of your life is not designed to bring you close to Him. And you could have framed your life to be close to Him, but you chose not to. And that is a scathing, blunt assessment. But remember, it's God's mercy that brings messages of pending judgment to people. So you've got Hosea's indictment. You've got Hosea's assessment. Now let's bring this down to you and me. Let's make this applicable for August the 9th, 2020. Let's bring it right down to where you and I hopefully can get something from this message for us. That's an explanation of these verses here, these few verses in Hosea 5. But now let's bring it down to you and me. Have we been unfaithful to God? Well, I'm not sure that there's anybody in this room who could stand up and say, you know, I've been 100% faithful to God. I doubt it. But I mean, folks, have you been horribly unfaithful to God? Are you flirting with this world? Are you a Demas who forsook Paul having loved this present world? Are we, as God's people, are we who have entered into a marital relationship as part of the bride of Jesus Christ, are we more infatuated and caught up with the temporal things of this life than being close to our Savior? Has that happened to me? Has that happened to you? And then this question, does the framework of our life serve the purpose of helping us be close to God? Does the framework of your life serve the purpose of drawing you closer to the Lord? Or does the framework of your life not draw you closer to the Lord? Does it not serve that purpose? You know, this remodel over here is a remodel. It's behind time. It's not a completely normal remodel. Usually remodels are behind time and over budget. And so far, we're not over budget. We're okay. But we are behind time. Now, there was a day a few weeks ago, because Matt's on schedule with the bathrooms, and there was a day a few weeks ago when the inspector came by to do an inspection on the rough framing of the bathrooms. And yes, he wants to see that it's framed properly and everything. So he comes in and he looks around. He walks in. Are these walls framed properly for the purpose of creating a bathroom? Does it serve the purpose for what it's supposed to be? And thankfully, it passed inspection. You can look at the main entry door there on the east, and you can see where the rough framing received the inspector's approval. If someone was to do an inspection on the framework of our lives, what would they say? Would they say the framework of this person's life helps them serve the purpose of being close to God? Or would they walk away shaking their head saying, you know what? The design, the framework of this person's life hinders them from drawing close to God. That's how we bring it down to you and me. That's how you take a truth from Hosea chapter 5 and bring it down to present day. How does this affect me and my relationship with God? Hey, Mr. Angel, Terry Angel, does the framework of your life serve the purpose of drawing you close to God? Or does the framework of your life serve the purpose of taking you away from God? That's a fair question for each of us to ask. It's a fair question. Because I would think that none of us wants to play the spiritual harlot on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's some practical thoughts for us this morning. But listen very carefully. Number one, we will be as close to God as the frame of the doings of our life allows. I'm going to say that again. We will be as close to God as the frame of the doings of our life allows. If the frame of our doings includes reading the Bible. If the frame of our doings includes praying. If the frame of our doings includes attending preaching services consistently and faithfully and listening and responding to what is preached. If the frame of our doings contains censoring the television. Censoring the television. Well, I tell you what, it's been refreshing personally to me to know that I can live without professional sports. I can, brother. I haven't watched a thing. I ain't going to watch a thing. As long as they're kneeling during our national anthem, I ain't watching nothing. Making millions and millions and millions of dollars in this country and protesting against it, go get an honest job. Amen. Does the framework of your life include censoring the television? Does the framework of your life include choosing what music to listen to and making sure that music fits the biblical guidelines of spiritual music? There's not a person in here who doesn't enjoy fleshly music. I do too. You do. Our flesh thrives on fleshly music, but our spirit suffers. What is the music like that I'm listening to? What's the music like that you're listening to? Does the framework of our life include obeying the Lord and getting baptized? Does the framework of our life include pouring out the booze and cleaning up the cabinets of our kitchens? Does the framework of our life include keeping our minds clean? Does the framework of our life include yielding to the Spirit of God so that we can defeat envy and jealousy and bitterness and a complaining spirit? A complaining spirit. Well, you know what? We shout and holler about all these big sins. I'll tell you something. You get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and read what God has to say about murmuring and complaining. I'll tell you, it's not very pretty. Does the framework of my life keep me avoiding gossip? Is the framework of my life designed to draw me closer to God? Does it serve that purpose, or does it take me away from God? You know, if the frame of our doings does not include these things, then that frame will not allow us to be close to God. Look, do you know any woman who gets upset because they cannot cook in the bathroom? You know, for a while when our kitchen was being remodeled, we washed, I'm very generous with that word, we. My wife washed dishes in the bathtub. The kitchen was completely gutted. There was no place to sit. There was no place to cook. There was no dish. There were no appliances. None. It was completely gutted. And it took longer than it was supposed to. And so she was washing dishes in the bathtub. But I think about any woman in this room, you know, would be very, very upset if you were expected to cook in the bathroom. Because the bathroom is not designed to cook, to wash dishes and prepare a meal. Not designed for that. Can you imagine a woman being upset because she couldn't cook in the bathroom and blaming the bathroom for it? Stinking bathroom. I can't cook potatoes in there. I can't fry any meat. I can't boil any carrots. I can't prepare the meal. I can't bake bread. What's the matter with this stinking room? Can you imagine that going on? You'd take them off in a white jacket and put them in a room with rubber walls. Huh? Yeah, and it's about as crazy as blaming the Christian life for not being fulfilling when your frame is not designed to help you enjoy it. Let me tell you what the framework of the Christian life, what the doings of that work, what the doings of that life is. It's to read your Bible. It's to pray. It's to love God. It's to go to church. It's to sing spiritual songs. It's to keep your mind and heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my... I'm going to tell you something. You design your life with that kind of framework and you'll love the Christian life. But you will not enjoy the Christian life if your life is not framed for the purpose of drawing close to God. I'm asking a fair question this morning, child of God. If I was to stop right now, if you're saved, you know, I'm not going to do this. No, don't raise your hand. If you're saved, raise your hand. You were to raise your hand. Yes, I'm saved. Okay, great. Is your life framed for the purpose of drawing you close to God? I've known some of you for 30 years. And I am confident that many of you, your life is framed for the purpose of living for God, serving God, honoring God. But others of you, I wonder sometimes, you struggle in your Christian life. Okay, what's your life framed for? Does that make sense? What's it designed for? What are the doings of your life? Do those doings serve the purpose of drawing you close to God? We will be as close to God as the frame of the doings of our life allows. Number two, we should allow God to frame our lives. You know what God is, folks? God is the master builder. God knows how to frame a life for the purpose of being close to Him. Now, can I say this morning? You've heard me say that I don't especially enjoy counseling. I do it. I did some this week. I'm going to do some again next week, I'm sure. But I don't especially enjoy it. I really don't enjoy it when somebody comes in and says, Pastor, I need your advice. And so we sit down and they say, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. What do you think? Well, if you're going to do this, 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 and this, and you've already decided, amen. Go do it. What do I think? You already made up your mind. You want me to put my stamp of approval on your plans. Hello? That's what it is. Well, folks, if I don't like that, what do you think God like? Okay, God, here's my life. I'm going to do this, 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 and this. Okay? That's not how you do it. You take your life to God and say, here is my life. Please frame it to help me serve you. To help me honor you. You give Him your whole life. You say, well, I'm not a pastor. Since when did that have anything to do with God having your life? That's not a pastor's responsibility. That's a Christian's responsibility. There's no such thing as a part-time or full-time Christian. Shouldn't be. You take your life to God and say, Lord, here it is. Please frame this life for me so that it will help me be close to you. And people, what God says to put in your life, the doings, whatever He says to put them in. And whatever God says as far as the doings go to leave out, then leave them out. Just agree with God. And if we take our life to God, please frame it so that I can be close to you and I can honor you and glorify you. God's going to be very pleased to help us do that. And you know where we find what God wants for our lives when it comes to the framework. He's given it to us. He's not going to write it in the clouds in black ink. He's not going to put a neon sign up there and flash it. This is what I want the doings of your life to be. It's here. And if, let me just say this morning. This is not a message on completely on reading the Bible. But child of God, if you are not in this book yourself. Yourself. That's why I come to church. No. You come to church to worship God, to glorify God, to honor God. And hopefully, the preaching of the Word of God builds you and edifies you. People, look, this is made for you and me to read as our own. Do you have Bible reading time? You will never figure out what God wants you to do as far as the doings of your life, what God does not want you to do, if you don't have a time in this book. And I'm not saying you need to read 10 chapters a day. You've heard me say this for over 30 years. Some of you, if you're not faithfully reading a portion of this book, how about doing 10 verses? And when you nail 10 verses and it becomes part of your life, the doings of your life, maybe read 20. I'm not asking something here that is, you know, oh man, what do you expect of us? This is what God expects. God said about those believers in the city of Berea in Acts 17 that they were more noble than the believers in Thessalonica in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Search the scriptures. Every child of God should have a time where you search the scriptures. And if you've not started into that and got real faithful and consistent in it, when I meet with the seniors every year coming out of high school, doesn't matter if it's here, homeschool, public school, how's your relationship with your parents? How's your relationship with your Bible? Every time. And it's been all over. It's like you would expect. Teenagers are a microcosm of adults. Well, I'm doing really good. Well, I'm hit and miss, but I'm more hit than miss. I'm hit and miss and more miss than hit. Or, Pastor, I haven't read my Bible in months. Months. Now, look, folks, we're not going to know what God wants us to do with the framework of our life without this book. Some of God's people get from the Bible 1 hour a week. You're not going to frame your life to be close to God. Get in that book right there. And what God says to do, do. What God says not to do, don't do. Frame your life to draw close to God. Let me say this now. Last of all, obeying what God says to do builds the frame of our lives on a rock. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. We're done. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Obeying what God says to do builds the framework of our life on a rock. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse number 24. This is so familiar to you. Little kids have a song they sing in junior church and so forth. Matthew chapter 7, the very last few verses of the Sermon on the Mount, beginning at verse number 24. This is what Jesus said. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what's the next three words? And what? Come on, folks. What's the next three words? Does that sound like doings? And doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and the next four words are, doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. What do you want the foundation of your life to be built on? A rock or sand? Very interesting in this passage. Very interesting, something I noticed, and maybe many of you have already noticed it too. But look at verse 25. And the rain descended. Look at verse 27. And the rain descended. Let's go back up to verse 25. And the floods came. Let's go back to verse 27. And the floods came. Verse 25, and the winds blew. Verse 27, and the winds blew. Verse 25, and beat upon that house. Verse 27, and beat upon that house. Verse 25, and it fell not. Verse 27, and it fell. In the reading of those two verses, comparing them word for word, was there any difference in the storm that came to the man who built his life on the rock and the man that built his life on the sand? No difference. Same identical storm. Well, some people just have it unfortunate. No, folks, for the most part, for the greater part of the population of this world, the same kinds of storms come to everybody. You know who survives the storm? The one whose house is built on the rock. And the way you build your house on the rock is to hear the Word of God. Well, I go to church. That's not what the book says. You hear the Word of God and doeth them. You frame the doings of your life based on this book. And the man who does not survive the storms of life, whose life falls apart because it's built on the sand, it's because he went to church. That's it. And when he left church, he left what he heard at church. And he didn't frame the doings of his life according to what the book says and Jesus said. That's like building your house on sand. And when the storm comes, the man whose life is built on the rock overcomes the storm. But when the storm comes to the man who built his life upon the sand, the storm overcomes him. It's not enough to go to church. And I'm for that. We have to frame our doings, the doings of our life, on the principles of God's Word. And Jesus said, when you do that, it's like building your house on a rock. When the storm comes, you overcome the storm. Now, look, what's the framework of your life like? What's the framework of your life like? Spiritually speaking, what is the framework of your, is the framework of your life, my, is it designed to serve the purpose of us glorifying God, living for God, honoring God, or is it not? Guess what? You got time to fix it. You got time to fix it. Looking for the trumpet sound, but I haven't heard it yet. Have you? Listening for it. So I got time to fix it. And this morning, maybe the Spirit of God has slipped by your seat as the Word of God has been preached today and said, you know what? What He's really saying this morning, and messages like this aren't always the most popular. But I want to tell you what, folks, they can still be well received even if they're not popular. Go home and frame your life to serve God. Amen. Dad, get your Bible out and read it in your home. Get your kids around and read it. Before you eat, bow your head and pray and thank God for the food. Amen. Make sure the music wafting through the walls of your house is glorifying to God. Do away with the television or at least censor it. At least censor it. Same goes for the radio and the internet and the apps and social media. Censor it all. Frame the doings of your life so that it has the purpose of pleasing Him. Israel, you've committed spiritual whoredom. And you will not frame your doings to turn back to God. You've got a God who's standing, willing to receive you back. But you won't do it. Framing our doings. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you'll help the message this morning to have an impact on somebody's heart here. Lord, somebody's life right now in this room is not framed for the purpose of serving God. It's a wonderful thing to come to church. I'm glad that we're here today. It's wonderful to sing. It's wonderful to give. But Lord, the most wonderful thing is for us to respond to you, to your sayings, to your word. Lord, help us to build our life on a rock, not to just hear, but to do. Help us not to be like the man who builds his house upon the sand. Speak to our hearts this morning. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Honest assessment. Do an honest assessment. Pastor, there is a part of my life, there are certain areas of my life that are not framed to help me serve the purpose of living for God and being close to Him. And the Spirit of God put His finger on a couple of things right now. As you were preaching this morning, I need to make some amendments to my life. That's what Israel refused to do. But I need to. Can I see your hand this morning if you'd be honest about it? Just be real honest about it. The framework of your life. Amen. 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 A lot of men's hands this morning. That's encouraging. Men who have a desire to be spiritual have God's touch on their lives. There's somebody else said, Pastor, really, I should have raised my hand just then, but I resisted. The Holy Ghost moved me to, but I resisted. I'm not going to be a part of that will not person. Pray for me. Somebody else this morning. The framework of my life. God bless you. Amen. 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 Is there anybody here today who would say, Brother Angel, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. You talk about Brother Gilbert passing away Saturday morning and going to heaven to be with Jesus. I don't know if I died, if I would go to be with Jesus or what would happen to me. Would you pray for me? Would you please lift your hand wherever you sit this morning? I'll just say a quick prayer. Won't use your name. If you don't know for sure where you're headed when you die, are you saved, unsaved? You're not sure. If you're here this morning, you came for the purpose of following the Lord and believer's baptism, then I hope that you'll come even now, Brother Scott's ready, and we can get things ready for here for baptism. But if you're here this morning, you raised your hand saying, God spoke to me about the framework of my life. Oh, brother and sister in Christ, please, please, please respond. It's the mercy of God that brings truth to our heart, to our attention. Seize it this morning. Let's leave. Let's frame our lives to draw us close to God. Father in heaven, bless, I pray, this message, this truth. Thank you for being merciful to us and gracious. Thank you for wanting us to be close to you. And for those of us who might have wandered away, you stand ready to receive us back into full fellowship. So God, help us to amend our doings, to change them, to add, to delete, whatever needs to be done so that it serves the purpose of drawing close to you. I pray it in Christ's name. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We have the invitation song beginning, and just at your church, at your chair, kneel, make your way to the front. I know there's not aisles, you have to wander through chairs. It doesn't make it that easy, but just let the Lord speak to your heart this morning and be very humble about what God said to you. Let God deal with you this morning. The doings of your life, the framework of your life. What are the doings of your life framed for? Are they framed for the purpose of serving God? Are they framed for the purpose of honoring God and being close to Him? It's not rocket science. It's not something special. It's just whatever you read in God's book, putting it into your life. Maybe you've not been faithful in reading the Word of God for yourself at home, with your spouse, individually, and then with your spouse even, or just by yourself. And the Spirit of God crept silently by your chair this morning and said, hey, look, you know what? This is what I want you to hear today. You need to frame your doings. And yes, you framed in going to church, which is good, and you listen, that's good, but you got to go home and do it. Do it. Be doers of the word, James said, not hearers only. May God help us today. We certainly need Him. This is when we need Him. Now is the day that we need Him. May God help us be close to Him. Our Father, we love You this morning. Thank You for the privilege of preaching Your word. I pray, God, that the seed will fall on some good ground today and bring forth fruit. May it be so, and we'll thank You for it. Lord, thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your faithfulness to us. We certainly don't deserve it, but we're so blessed. And we love You today in Jesus' name. Amen.